Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
I think there's nothing that a lot of us love more than getting out in Montana, hitting the towns. You know, we don't really have in the big town. We don't have one of those around here. But we do have community like nobody else does. Welcome here. We're hitting the road today, kind of going to check in with some friends in Phillips County. A lot of things going on here. There's cattle and wheat, and there's oil and gas, and there's dinosaurs, and there's the great outdoors here as well. We're going to see, too, how this community is going to deal. There's a likely loss of irrigation water, recreation, municipal water. This is due to the repairs of the failed St. Mary's Canal. That's being repaired. It's moving right along, but there may be some shortages this year that irrigators and all those folks are going to have to worry about. We'll talk about that. That's going to hit here in Malta, Montana. Longtime area rancher and also president of the Montana Stock Growers Association, Leslie Robinson, is with us. We've got a lot more to talk about here as we are 406 in to Malta, Montana today on Voices of Montana. Thank you guys for being here. Appreciate that. We're getting closer to the weekend, but I know what that means for you. Just another working day. Keep going. Keep hacking away at it. We'll do the same thing. A bit later on, Connie French is going to join us. Rancher Stewardship Alliance. A lot of things going on there. Succession planning. They're a producer organization. I'm going to talk with Frank Drabs as well. We are at Equity Co-op here in Malta, Montana, and Frank has been a part of this for the longest time. Janny was so kind to let us be here and do our program. And I'm gonna turn right now to Rye Tharp, who is with KMMR, the owner of that station. And I'm gonna talk to you a bit later on as well. Hometown Radio, it's really cool. But thanks for being here. Or thanks for having us on as well. You and I were chatting. We just can't get Janny on the air today.
Yeah, she's a little. She definitely is hesitant on jumping on. I wish we could get her on because I think that would be very entertaining.
I think it'd be fun too. Yeah. So Frank Drabs will join us a bit later on. That's Rye Tharp. Got a lot to chat with him about. Marco Manukian too will get up to date on the St. Mary's Canal, assisted today by Coulter Brown from the Northern Ag Network. Coulter, good morning.
Tom, thanks for having me. Thanks for bringing the show to Malta, Montana. Really, I'm just the chauffeur, the road crew. I mean, you're the talent. I'm just here to do the work.
Oh, shut the heck up. And Leslie Robinson is with us as well, as I mentioned, the president of the Montana Stock Growers Association, but it's a Lazy JD Ranch, and you're still doing FWP stuff. And good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the invite.
I've been wanting to come up to your territory and do a show for the longest time and chat with you here. And so thanks. You were just in Helena, though. I know you've been flying around, president of the Stock Growers Association in Washington, D.C. Of course, you and I have worked together as well under then Congressman Greg Gianforte. Are you as busy as you've ever been?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely as busy as I've ever been. But anybody who knows me that knows that I like busy, and if I have a mission, I'm gonna tackle it.
Yeah. So. Coulter, what would be the first thing that you want to talk to the president of the Stock Growers Association about?
Well, Leslie, I think my biggest question would be around the roundtable you had with the mm-hmm. governor this week. You and several other ag groups across Montana got to meet with the governor on National Ag Day. I mean, what do you share from the stock growers' perspectives with him? What do you need? What are you asking of the governor when you meet with him?
So I was the last one out of the roundtable to go, so there were a lot of asks, I guess, ahead of me. So I got to close it out. And one of the things that with our producer profitability initiative that we're doing, keeping the agriculture land in production is really our main goal. And what do we need to do to do that? And so some of the things weren't asks, but actually thank you. I know conservation easements, people have different views on them, but this administration is going more with term easements rather than perpetual. And they're making sure that production stays on the land as part of the easement. So that is one of the tools, I guess, to keep the people on the land and keep the agriculture in production is to guarantee that it will stay in production.
Well, you mentioned your producer profitability initiatives of the Montana Stock Growers. We've actually covered that here on Voices of Montana before with the meeting in Billings this past summer. But how is that moving forward? You had a huge series of meetings last year. I don't know how many thousand miles you put on across the state, but how has that conversation evolved around producer profitability?
Sure. So one of the trips that I went to D.C., we spoke about the death tax, because a lot of the taxes are sunsetting this year. And so that was one of the conversations that we had in D.C. was, and there is actually a bill, a death tax repeal bill, and all four of our congressional delegation in Montana have signed on in the Senate and the House. And so thanking them for their support and just making sure that they know that that needs to get done as one of the things to keep the people on the land.
What's different about the Producer Profitability Initiative? Because I would think Montana Stock Growers have had policy for a long time saying we need to end the estate tax. Why is it different to now call it producer profitability than just saying, well, we oppose the estate tax?
Sure. Well, part of it is focusing. We have four different buckets with taxes, labor, mentorship, off the top of my head, I just lost what the other one is.
Risk management, isn't that?
Well, yes. And simplification of like the risk management. Well, let's say like LRP, is there some tweaks that we can do to make it easier to use more? Another thing is like young producers, just simplifying the process for people to get equity and be able to, if not purchase land, but at least, buy some cows and get a lease and get started. And so that if I was going to say anything, it's just giving us more focus on what do we need to do and what can we. Unity is a big part of the producer profitability. So these are areas that we can work with other groups that are like-minded of on these issues, even though there are certain issues we may not agree on. These are the issues that we can actually unify and work together to try to get something done.
That reminds me of a show we did a while back with the DNRC. Stock Growers Association was on it as well, Trout Unlimited. This had to do with collaboration on kind of reevaluating the water resources in Montana. And I felt that was a step forward in terms of groups working together toward common outcomes and focusing on those common outcomes. That process is still going on, though. With the stock growers and that.
Right, yeah. Right. And Ray Lee, our exec, is our main point of contact on that. But but that's the key, is to try to figure out where we can agree and join together to try to get something done.
And share these resources.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, another one that we, and we'll talk with Marco Manukian here. Leslie Robinson is with us, Lazy JD Ranch. Her and her husband Jim have been here for years and years and part of this community, you know, right. and you live it and you breathe it. I really appreciate that about you. The loss of that water resource, even temporarily, has a big impact. How will it impact you in this area?
Where we are located, we don't have a lot of the irrigation. Our pivots run off of wells. So Marco is going to be able to hit on that more. But it is very important. I mean, if you can't irrigate and you can't grow your crop and you can't feed your cattle and the cities that rely on the water source, Malta doesn't.
Oh, yes. I thought they were.
No.
Glasgow's one for sure, yeah.
And Haver.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
There's others too, but anyway, there's just a lot of people that rely on it, and recreation, like you mentioned before, that's a big part of the community and the money that comes into this community are fishermen and recreators. So it's a very important part of our community.
How do you think the community has, you know, and of course, you've been around a long time, so you've seen a lot of rural communities.
Are you calling me old? I don't know.
I just did, didn't I?
That's, a little bit.
Yeah,
bit.
Where's that 10-second delay button? I want you need to hit that and take that back. That was in a good way. I kind of forgot where I was going with that. which is
even, I've been around for a long
even
time.
Even more funny. Yeah. Just the I want to know what's this community like? How does it hang in? Mm-hmm. How does the rural Montana communities revitalize? And I think that's happening in a lot of ways too. And I think Equity Co-op is an example of that here.
Right. I feel like we're a very resilient community. Besides Equity Co-op, we have Family Matters, which was a clothing store that is a co-op. When we lost our, Anthony's, JCPenney's, that type of thing, because we're such a small community, the community banded together and started a clothing store. And it just seems like, a few years ago, probably a couple years ago, I put together a group of young people that have moved back into the community to take over businesses or start new businesses. And I ran out of room before I ran out of people to call to come for that meeting in the meeting space. So it's great that I feel like we have a lot of younger people coming back and I'm not saying that it isn't a struggle because it's a struggle. You can see a lot of for sale signs around, but for some reason, this area, Phillips County, we just keep going.
Frank Drabs was saying that too, there, when he looks at some of the businesses around here and who's owning them, they're younger people. Mm-hmm. He talked about, we were talking about church. There are more younger kids showing up in the schools and things like that. So that's happening in a certain sense. And your example, I think, it kind of spurs that on, right?
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, just little things. Like there was a while where there weren't a lot of and I know the classes are smaller than there used to be, but so are the families. I mean, there's just fewer kids in a family, but there's just a lot of kids, a lot of little kids rodeos, at the halftime of the basketball games, the gym is covered with little kids cheerleaders or basketball players or whatever. And it just makes you feel good, and it's just neat to see in our community. And
it is. Yeah, I think that revitalization can happen when people focus in on that. Yeah. Again, Leslie Robinson here, Lazy JD Ranch, and Colter Brown with the Northern Ag Network.
Yeah, Leslie, I think we have to have you put one of your other hats on with the Fish and Game Commission as well. You have so many irons in the fire, but from your perspective, on the Fish and Game Commission, what are the priorities, especially with a legislative session going on right now? What do you think is important for rural Montana to know that you guys are focused on?
So as far as the commission goes, we kind of stay out of the legislation because the laws, the statutes are what guide us. And so we're not telling the legislature what to do to tell us what to do. but I do keep track of it. There's a lot of bills, and I just kind of wait until the end of the session to see what our new rules are, I guess, for the commission.
You bet. Well, and speaking of the legislature, you already mentioned a lot of the water work that Montana Stock Growers is doing, switching hats again. But even today, there's the hearing on the Montana Cattle Committee going on in the Senate. So that's something that the Montana Stock Growers have played a big role in.
The Montana Stock Growers has policy to support a state checkoff, and there's been a lot of, misinformation out there as to the cattle committee. And what that bill will do is allow for a referendum to be held, to be voted by all the producers to see if we do want an additional dollar checkoff for the state. And so, we've been an independent committee put it together and brought it forward. And like I said, we have a policy to support it. And so we've been following it through the legislature.
I want to get a sense on where we're at with public land in the country. And I know that you go to D.C. an awful lot and try to contend for stewardship, which is the rancher's first responsibility, and they've been carrying that out for years. We're talking about some collaboration here as well. But the whole idea about public lands, I think, is turned upside down. I don't think that the people who are saying we are fighting against locking up public lands are, in essence, kind of locking up public lands through various easements and things like that. So I think there's how much education needs to be done. How do we kind of get a balance, at least in the understanding of the public, about what really is happening with public lands?
Phillips County has a lot of public land, so we deal with a lot of public land issues. But I would look at you said easements lock up public lands, but it's a lot of times the opposite. It's more access to public lands. But we have a lot, I know in Phillips County, as far as this is back to state, but we have a lot of block management in Phillips County. Our ranch has been in block management since 2000, so we've been in it for, well, 25 years it'll be this year. So there's just a lot of, our community is very reliant on public lands, mm-hmm. and agriculture, it's not separate from the private land. We're very intermixed. We're checkerboard property ownership. And so it all is intertwined, and it's just part of living here, being part of the public lands.
Where's the policy at with public lands? What do we need to straighten out with it?
Oh, well, this administration seems like they're going to roll back a lot of what the previous administration had put in place. So it's just kind of waiting and seeing what we're going to end up with. There's just a lot of moving parts right now, but it seems very positive to me to roll back some of the pretty stringent, I guess, regulations that were being talked about.
Yeah, you're finding a good way to say that, too. I think that they go beyond a normal scope there in terms of what they had done previously. Yeah. Leslie, I'm so glad to be able to be in your community, because I want to brag on this gal a little bit. I worked with her for a couple of years. Again, like I said, in a previous life. And you were so – you had such a touch with every person that was you were working with. You seemed to understand them. You knew how to get the best out of them. And I just wanted to say thank you for that, you know, and kind of brag on you a little bit about it, because a lot of those people that we worked with are off doing some pretty good things nowadays, and they still call you and say, what should I be doing, Leslie?
Right. That is one of my favorite things, I guess, is mentorship of not necessarily younger people, but a lot of times it was younger people. And I was just mentioning earlier that I feel like a proud mom. I know I'm not their mom, but I feel like a proud mom just watching our previous, my previous employees just move on to just bigger and better things. And it's just great to be able to help young people thrive and grow. And it is one of my most favorite things to do.
What is your approach to leadership that enables that?
I don't know. I guess my husband always tells me you're not Dr. Phil, but I feel like I'm a little bit Dr. Phil.
As you're Dr. Filling him.
Yes. I don't know. I just like to, I just pay attention to people and just try to help them where their, maybe their weak spots are, try to make them grow and point them out. And I carefully choose my words. It's all in the delivery of what you do.
That's good. Yeah. Good to catch up with you, Leslie. Again, thanks for stopping in. I know you were in Helena just the other day and flying around.
Yeah.
How's Jim doing? How's the ranch doing?
Ranch is doing good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I joked that Jim has to follow me on Facebook. So.
Hilarious. Right. I like that. I'm sure he's going, yeah, hilarious. That's
right.
Really funny. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Leslie.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming.
Live at Equity Co-op here. It's Malta, Montana. We're heading to Plentywood tomorrow for the Northeast Montana Farm Expo from Expo from KATQ. Rye Tharp is with us. Rye again from KMMR. Rye, you going to join us?
Yeah, I'm just kind of sitting in here. As I said, this is a great opportunity for a lot of folks around here to get their comments in, talk about some important issues, and I'm just glad you guys are here. So
lean in on this one, okay? We're going to talk about St. Mary's and the canal. Of course, Colter Brown is with us, director of the Northern Ag Network, too. A lot of ag opportunities to discuss here, too. But we're going to pick up on this one, and it's ag-related, but it's so much more, too. St. Mary's, the canal, it's about 100 years old. They're talking about repairing it all up and down the line. There is some work. There's finally been some money that has come through after 20 plus years of kicking this can down the road. Marco Manukian is with us, and you will probably attest to the length of how long they kicked this can down the road in terms of repair on St. Mary's. Wade Jones also with us, a member of the Milk River Joint Board of Control. So Marco, how you doing?
Not too bad. Thank you for coming and speaking with us today.
Good to have you. We've chatted over the years as well, and I really appreciate you getting us up to date on a bunch of stuff. Wade Jones too. Wade, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Appreciate you letting us put our word out there.
Yeah, thank you for doing it. Rye, I'm going to throw the first question to you. Maybe it's something to the effect of, are we going to have water this year?
Yeah, and Marco, that exactly. A lot of people want to know, where are we sitting at right now?
So the good news is we did receive some additional water in Fresno. It's about 40,000 acre feet currently right now. The flow into Fresno is almost back to zero, but we did get quite a bit of water. That's going to be really beneficial for the communities that drink out of that thing. It's going to stabilize their water system. So that's Havre, Chinook, Harlem, and Fort Belknap Agency. So it's a lot better than where they were sitting, because they were looking at a water shortage as soon as June, meaning no water. So that's greatly improved. How much water is left for irrigation out of that equation if we don't have another big system, probably in the form of a rainstorm now, that'll be a decision that the Joint Board is going to have to decide as to how much to open that gate and how many acre feet we can release and send down. The other factor is some of that water belongs to the Fort Belknap tribe.
Right.
They get 1/7 of the storage in there, whatever that number is at the current time.
I was going to ask Wade, and that's probably one of the answers, what goes into making that decision? How do you determine at this point who's going to get how much water, so to speak?
Well, cities will be definitely first, and then the tribal people are next. As of right now, what's in there, there's not enough to irrigate with.
To irrigate with. And so they're not expecting huge crop bushels then.
Well, we're a month and a half off of our normal irrigation turn-on time. Yeah. So I'm optimistic. I feel we're going to get a rain, a snow, and we're going to be sitting fine. Nelson Reservoir, which is another one of our holding reservoirs, it's 82% full. If you live below Nelson Reservoir, you're looking awful good for an irrigation, possibly some more.
Well, that is spoken like a producer, that they're optimistic that this year's going to be okay. But I'd ask you and Marco Wade, both of you, but as producers, what are the contingency plans? If there is little to no water this year, what does that mean for the ag industry kind of down the high line here?
So there's about 75,000 acres between Havre and Nelson that probably would skip an entire irrigation season. That would not be beneficial. There's just no way around it. It wouldn't be good.
And so what do producers do? They're already thinking about how are we going to feed these animals next winter if we can't raise the feed for them, right? Wade, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, there's, as you know, when this first all happened, the prediction for water running through the St. Mary's system was, you know, September, August. I can tell you now that we're looking at possibly mid-July. Mm. It's been moved up. So that's one good thing. We, in Fresno, to be safely to start for an irrigation, we need about another 30 to 40,000 acre feet in there to get somewhat of an irrigation. So, you know, it's coming. It really
it's
is.
Coming. There's good news to share, Wade. I appreciate the optimism.
I believe that, too. Talk about the pace of the repair as well. I mean, as you say, those estimates kind of can look a little better at times. I know Jen Patrick, Marco, everybody who's been working on that program are all in on it, too.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought up Jen's name. Jen Patrick, that's... You've heard the life of the High Line? There's our life of the High Line.
Everybody's right shaking their head yes around here, Jen.
No, she's the vital component in the whole thing. One of the big things that happened for us is the state stepped up big, got us $26 million, the governor. It went through the legislation 2 years ago. That was huge when stuff was froze. We still had money to run on. Now the money's been released. We're sitting good. We are. And the repairs is unbelievable what them guys have done.
Yeah, I mean, there was a big hole in the ground and a lot of broken pipe. And there was no pipe to replace it. So literally had to make the pipe, haul the pipe from the West Coast to the site and start putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. So it's a huge feat. It was just a lot. to ask. You know, the first guys that did it, took them 10 years. We were hoping for maybe like 3 or 4 months, and that's just not realistic.
Yeah.
So if they can move it up a month, that's great. It's still going to hurt some people.
Well, we're all pulling for this to get done because it helps everybody in Montana. It's vital to you guys here. Appreciate you joining us here again live from the Equity Co-op. That's part of the CHS family here in Malta, Montana. Rytharp from KMMR FM. He's with us. We'll chat with him in just a bit. Colter Brown as well, Northern Ag Network. A lot of folks here. Thank you guys for showing up. Ken Adelblue from the Northern News Network, also alongside, doing a lot of work. Going to speak with Frank Drabs here in just a bit from Equity Co-op. I want to get this out. Gina Lamb stopped by here, and she's a prevention specialist for Phillips and Valley County Behavioral Health. We've talked about this. This State of Mind program that's coming out of the University of Montana, the Collab for Civic Imagination. It's coming. It's in Ekalaka, Baker, Malta. It's going to be here, Malta. I just encourage you guys to take this in. I've seen their presentation when they do that for community members. Earlier it was in Billings, and then they get the community behind them, and then they do this presentation. I think you guys will really appreciate the theater aspect behind it, but how it gets you to think about mental health. So that is going to Ekalaka's March 24th, Baker March 25th, and then Malta here on April 3rd, and then Forsyth April 23rd. So they're making a trip, and Gina Lamb, good job coming down here and getting us up to speed on that. Okay, again, Colter Brown, Rytharp, and now Frank Drabs joins us too. Good morning, again, Frank. How
good
you
morning.
Doing?
Good.
Goodness. Good. Yeah. I got Rye to my left here, and I have been, you know, bugging him about getting on my radio show and talking about how he has done something I think a lot of people appreciate. You know, the previous owner, a lot of years, Greg Kelb with KMMR.
43 years,
right? And you are, you've got connections to this area, but as a young guy with not a ton of radio experience, you said, all right, I'm going to take this on because, one, it's going to be a fun job, two, but the community needs it as well. But what was that whole process, Rye?
There wasn't much process to it. Purchasing the radio station was kind of a whim. definitely surprised my wife, that's for sure.
It's not like bringing home a new bicycle or something, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Just one day, hey, honey, I'm going to buy the radio station. Sure you are. Thought it was a joke. And then, oh, we got an appointment with the bank tomorrow. And then it sank in.
Just like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, but and why did you do it? I mean, are you a small town guy?
Yes, grew up in small towns. Not originally from here, but come from a small town, and I appreciate the small town life, or else I wouldn't be in a small town. And small towns rely on everybody to make everything work, and the radio station is of vital importance.
Yeah, talk more about KMMR again. How long have you been doing it? 3 years? 2 years?
This is second year.
Does it feel like 10 already?
It definitely feels like I've been doing it a while. Still learning lots, though.
Yeah.
Every day's a new experience, and there's so much more to learn. It's been exciting and terrifying, and yeah.
And Frank, what do the people in the community, think about their hometown radio station?
Oh, it's absolutely necessary. You know, now we have, with all the new streaming services, we listen to all our tournament games.
You
get your news. We get our ag news from these guys all the time. So, yeah, if you don't have it here, you're really out of the loop.
You would miss it. Yeah, yeah. What has been some of the challenges for you?
Trying to bring the younger generation back into radio, because a lot of everybody has, you know, these other streaming services. Got to let the younger folks know, hey, radio still exists, and it's a vital part of the community.
Yeah.
Farmers, ranchers rely on some of the, you know, programs that you guys supply us with. They rely on that information, and it's important.
Talk about some of the people at your station that help you along.
Oh, everybody has helped me at the station.
Give them a shout out.
The girls in sales, Les and Kayla, and then, of course, Jenna, my secretary, keeps me going with the day-to-day stuff. And, of course, the DJs, can't do it without them. Frank's back at the station right now, probably frantically pushing a button and making sure, but he does a great job.
Trying to turn his boss off the air right now. Yeah.
Yeah, they all do a great job. And, of course, you guys met my IT guy, Travis Rhodes, last night.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's been, being that he has worked, you know, for KMMR in the past and sales and stuff like that and knows a lot of the equipment, it's great having him, his brain and his personality and everything around there. So, yeah. It's a cohesive unit at KMMR, and we all rely on each other and work great as a team.
Congratulations on getting through the basketball season, too.
Yeah, that was very interesting. We've upgraded some equipment and just trying to learn how to use it and make sure it's working right.
Frank, did you catch the games?
Yes,
I did. There you go, yeah. Right? Yeah. Frank, tell us about Equity Co-op. We were talking with Jani earlier. There she is. She wouldn't let us talk to her, so we get to talk about her. But she was saying that, you know, this part that we're in right now was an addition to it. And I think part of that goes to the talk we were having earlier, the revitalization of rural America. It can happen.
Yes. You know, Equity Co-op was actually started in 1916, so we've been here a lot of years.
100 plus.
We used to have elevators, but they did the service. And this building now is 9 years old already. There were no, you know, sport or good work wear, Western wear around. I mean, it's, you know, it's 70 miles to Glasgow, 90 miles to Havre. So we put this store together, and that's been really good for the co-op. Mm. You know, it draws a lot of people in, and I'm sure there's still some people that aren't even aware that it's here, but it's been good, you know, for it really helps our cash flow and draws a lot of people in. So, you know, that really, really helps us as a business.
Yeah.
And, Frank, you mentioned the profitability. We're hearing that we've actually paid dividends to the members. I mean, it's delivering real value to the co-op members.
Yes, it is. You know, there was a lot of years. Well, the grain business, when that switched over to the unit trains and stuff, that took all these elevators out, and that made things pretty rough. Mm. So once we sold the elevators and moved over this way, it's been better, and we're actually back to being able to pay dividends, which is been something like 30 years, so it's good.
Yes, know. It is, and I'm sure all the members here. And you're independent as well, you know, and that's unique, too. Talk about why that was important to you.
Well, you know, I know that there's a lot of the co-ops are joining into bigger regionals, and we just looked at that and then kind of watched how they changed their business, and we thought we'd like to stay independent, local, so that we can react to our customers here. And that has, you know, really been pretty important to us, that we still provide services that maybe aren't really profitable, but you got to provide them for your customers. And I was going to say, because we have loyal customers. That's the one thing we like. Got good employees here, and we've got loyal customers.
You're loyal to them too, Frank, I think.
If you don't do it for the people, you don't provide what they need, then you're not in business.
Good are you then? Right, you got something?
Yeah, I got to give a shout out here real quick to the Montana Farmers Union. I just got this text here. Far out and waiting, Monday, April 28th, 2025, from 6 to 8:30 up in Whitewater. They're doing a lot of good stuff for the medical services. It's what to do while waiting for emergency medical services, say that five times fast, to arrive in remote areas. Again, that's April 28th in Whitewater from 6 to 8:30.
Is that not the power of local radio right now, you know?
I know they're listening.
Hey, Rye, he mentioned this. Okay.
Yeah, the phone's been kind of blowing up here, and so just trying to get everybody, you know, I tell them, come on down, jump on the mic, too, so that helps.
Yeah, well, we're going to switch here. Connie French is standing by, and so we're going to do that here in just a little bit. I just want to have you or Frank, you know, just kind of talk about the community right now. What's the spirit of it? I know we come out of winter. Wasn't a tough winter, but we just talked about some of the irrigation issues you may have or recreation issues. What's the spirit of Malta right now? Tell us.
Well, you know, I think you touched on it a little bit with Leslie, that the younger people are starting to come back, and we're getting more kids in school. Things are, you know, well, like she said, that, you know, you started the clothing co-op down here. This one's doing well. Businesses are doing well right now, and it's good because there's people are moving in, and we just like to see that, you know.
That's good.
Got young guys at the radio station, you know. That was going to be a big loss if we lost that one. I think things are getting better, and people are starting to realize that it's good to be about here.
Is Rye behaving himself on the air?
Yeah, he's been good.
Mostly that? Well,
yeah. For the most part, okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to try to change that in the next segment. Frank Drabs, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for having us here. I mean, Janny has picked out some really nice items. Honestly, folks, if you haven't been here, if you're just catching us now, boots and, like you say, the Western wear, but a lot more, too. There's rodeo gear, tack, and jeans and Ken needs a hat. There's one nearby. It's Canada Blue.
Welcome back from Montana for Montana Voices of Montana. We're in Plentywood, Montana tomorrow. Yeah, the old hometown country for the KATQ Northeast Montana Farm Expo. A lot of good people we got lined up there. A ton of them, as a matter of fact, Colter Brown.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun there in Plentywood tomorrow. But before we leave Malt Air, we have to share, I think, what's one of the best unsung stories from Phillips County here, but really is becoming nationwide and globally known. That's Ranchers Stewardship Alliance. Connie French, newly elected president of RSA. Connie, appreciate you joining us. You know, Tom asked me this morning, what is Rancher Stewardship Alliance? And I had to think for a second. I said, well, to me, I'd say it's a self-help group. Ranchers helping themselves to get something done. But Connie, I'll let you answer that question.
I think that's a great way to put it.
My fault. Go ahead.
Oh, I think that's a great way to put it, is we are trying to help ourselves. We're being proactive. Our mission statement is ranching, conservation, and community is a winning team. So we really have over the years, and we've been in existence for over 20 years now, and we've tried to build relationships and look for the positive side of things and in working with other people, looking for solutions instead of focusing. Well, of course, you have to know what the problem is, but instead of focusing on the differences between people and groups, we've looked for solutions that we can find between different groups and different people, and how can we best help ranchers stay ranching.
What has that brought you, that effort toward a collaborative plan?
For example, right now we have a conservation committee, and within that conservation committee, that's a good example, I think, of all the partnerships that we've got going on. I'm looking at Martin. He's our conservation director.
Yeah.
And Martin Townsend, by the way.
Let's call him out. We got a
Martin.
Wireless microphone for him, too. If he's got, yeah.
He thought he was going to get out of this.
I know. We were having fun during the break that Connie was going, I got my staff over here. And the staff was going, Connie, you got this. This is you. And, but Martin, what's your name again?
Martin Townsend. So I work there for Rancher Stewardship Alliance.
Okay, yeah. Did you have, is he taking over now?
Pretty much. He's just so good at it. Everybody just gets out of his way.
What was your question for him, though?
Numbers of partners that we have at the Conservation Committee when we come in there.
Yeah, so Conservation Committee works with almost 30 different partners that have interest in either wildlife habitat, natural resource, or other resource conservation issues around ranches.
And talk about the role community plays in Rancher Stewardship Alliance, because I think it's not just here in North Central Montana, but it's really developing a community of ranchers that's starting to expand beyond that.
Very true. So our community has really grown. So we, of course, are always concerned and interested and dedicated to our local community and keeping ranchers on the ground ranching, fostering, mentoring the young and beginning producers that are coming into the area. Or maybe they've been here, but they're starting to up their game and you know, get more cattle, take over the family ranch. So we really, really want to support them. But then as that community grows, we find ourselves going to workshops, going to meetings outside of Phillips County, outside of the state, to help mentor other groups like ours that are getting going. We've become more involved in the regenerative ag side of things. So there's other groups, ACES, WSE,
Stay.
EMRA, that's the one I was trying to think of. EMRA. Yeah, so there's a lot of other groups. And so there are examples of how our community has grown. And we learn so much from each other. And that's been really good.
And I think that's, to me, that's the, one of the best things about this part of the world is you have groups like this where if you want to have a community out here, mm-hmm. everyone has to step in and lean in. And you talk about the work you do to help ranchers who are just trying to stay profitable in, right. in some challenging years. Talk about some of those projects as we wrap up.
Sure. So we haven't talked a lot about education yet. And that's one of the key areas that we really try to help ranchers is through education. So we've had folks like Ranching for Profit Group, Dallas Mount has been here, Elaine Fraze, Jolene Brown. We've had some financial folks come in to help people learn how to do their books better, grazing seminars, different things like that to just give people the tools that they need to be successful in ranching.
Super. You know, and all that work pays off. It really does. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. Martin, thanks for popping on here. Shout out to the rest of the crew here as well. Leslie Robinson, thank you for stopping in. Rye Tharp, thank you as well. Frank back in the studio. Ken Adablue, Coulter Brown, Jesus, and everybody else along the High Line. We will see you in Plentywood tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.